Welcome, Lund loyalists, YouTubers watching on John Lund Unleashed and the Bay Area Sports Collective, those watching on X and Instagram and listening on Apple and Spotify. It's John Lund Unleashed and johnlundunleashed.com. Brought to you by Riopel Cosmetic Surgery and Laser Center, right now featuring amazing stem cell technology. For all your pain and for the guys, check out the latest in low T and testosterone therapy to make you feel like yourself again. Riopel Cosmetic Surgery and Laser Center at riopelcosmetic.com. Now, all juiced up and ready to go. Here's Johnny.
Love of God, have I got this thing down yet? Good morning, thanks for joining us. It is Tuesday? Wait, March 25th, something like that? I have no idea. Thank you so much for joining us. Yep, Tuesday, March 25th. 2 days away from opening day as the Giants return to take on the Tigers. Did not feel like the 2012 World Series, but it looked like it just for a second. We got a ton to do on episode 97, as you saw there in the show cover today. Jimmy Butler is returning to Miami. Got a little bit of video to show. Andrew Wiggins has been hot lately as well. You see Brock in that corner. I did the exercise of working out Brock's contract. The 49ers can thank me later. The Giants have a rotation. So we are busy, busy, busy on this Tuesday edition of the show. Plus, Krug and I are going to debut that show on Thursday afternoon, actually, because that's opening day. So got a ton of things to get to you and give you a lot of information. First and foremost, thank you, thank you, thank you for finding the show. It is John Lund Unleashed. We are here weekdays, 8 a.m. Pacific time, 8 to 10 a.m. Pacific time. Saturdays, we do it at 10 a.m. And then random times throughout the day, like yesterday, I put that video together explaining the story that I wrote at johnlundunleashed.com on Brock Purdy. So if you were a member, you would have gotten that before everybody else. Everybody had it. Who was a subscriber last night, and then this morning I released it, I don't know, like 6, 7 a.m. or something like that. But so make sure you subscribe. Make sure you have those alerts on as well so that you don't miss anything. And please, please, please hit that thumbs up for every show. It helps the algorithm. Thanks for those who are watching on, I always say this, and then I'm like, oh, I haven't hit the button yet, that extra button that I've got to hit to go live on Instagram. And we are live on Instagram now. So we are live on X at John Lund Radio. Thank you so much for joining us there. Instagram as well, at John Lund Radio. We are on Twitch. We are on YouTube. As I said, John Lund Unleashed, Bay Area Sports Collective. Please make sure that you're subscribed there as well, because you'll get alerts not only about my show if you're on Bay Area Sports Collective, in addition to John Lund Unleashed, but also Tom Tolbert yesterday, who had Dave Fleming in his backyard. You would have been alerted on that if you're a Bay Area Sports Collective, and as well as Polly Mack and Creative Tony's show. They are all there. LinkedIn, we're bothering people who are trying to work. And on Facebook, please friend me, won't you, at John Lund and John Lund Unleashed. All right, before we get to roll call, episode 97, Miami Jimmy. Jimmy is back. And Anthony Slater did a really nice job in getting the video that I will play for you. But what's funny about the whole thing is that it's just you're in a loud gym, and sometimes it's like just you get what you get. So we'll play a little bit of that. It's not the greatest. Will Steph Curry play? Steve Kerr with the latest on that. That is huge. I just have a suspicion that he's going to play because they need him to play. Miami's not very good, but they can't afford anything. Minnesota, by the way, Minnesota and the Clippers, they don't play tonight if they're one game back of the Warriors, so they can gain a little bit more. More Ayuk rumors, and they are unfounded. I'm not saying he's not getting traded. I'm just saying this particular rumor is just a dartboard throw, and I'll tell you why. More Ayuk rumors. Purdy paid piece. Purdy paid piece. I don't want to pop my peas. So I wrote that at johnlundunleashed.com, the Cam Ward thing. When are we going to stop being fooled by these stupid quarterback deals where they're throwing against air and it's like, oh my gosh, he's so impressive. Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, all these guys do these things and they're preconceived because they don't want to work out at the combine. So they get them in their place, throwing against air, and everyone's like, oh, Cam Ward. It's like, you know, I don't know about you, but there's defense on the field, and you or I could look good in the setting that they had Cam Ward in yesterday. But okay, it's just one of my peeves, and I shouldn't get so angry about it. I'm not angry. I'm just pointing it out. The Giants have a rotation we will explain and discuss Thursday with Krug. Like I said, we're talking about that Friday night show and still debating what we're going to call it, but Thursday, with opening day in Cincinnati, we're going to do a live show, and we're going to test out that Friday night deal that we're going to do. And we're going to have a lot of fun on Thursday, so make sure that you stay tuned for that. Good stuff last night from Elliot Ramos, who hit a home run, went 3-for-4 in the return to Oracle Park for the Giants. Exhibition game, I get it, but very nice to see him doing what he's doing. Plus, Robbie Ray was really good last night, so those are all encouraging signs. No, I don't care that they won the Cactus League title. By the way, was this a joke? I mean, were they kidding around when they did this? Because they had one for Toronto and one for the Giants. Like, really? What do you win? Do you get a ring for that? They put something in with 10, 12, 14, and then the Cactus League champions, they put that on the outfield wall? Probably not. Other things you need to know, random, and this lotto story, I'd be going absolutely positively bananas if this happened with me. So anyway, a lot to get to on the Tuesday edition of the show. By the way, breakfast today, not a great combination. Pure protein, or no, this was first. Suck some of that down. DayQuil, not feeling great. And then chased it with that. And I'm telling you, it's worse than like tequila and a lime or something. I mean, yes, DayQuil's awful, but it works. It works really well. And so when you're sick around the house, you know, we have a one-level house, and so it's like everyone's just like, stay away. They're just like, oh, go away. Yeah. They don't want you anywhere near. So I was on the couch last night rolling around. I didn't want to get anybody sick, and then I was out in the studio the whole time. And so, it, you know, and like I said, playing hurt, but not really. I mean, it's like, come on, I'm not digging ditches around here. So anyway, that's what's happening. Let's get out to the lines and say hello to everybody on the chat line today. Remember, if you 100% positively want to get your comments, questions, thoughts on the show, hit me up with a super, would much appreciate that. It goes to the XY fund and also goes to the college fund of my young son. So it is not unused. By the way, where's Skills? Skills, I have something because you sent me an email and we got to discuss something, but we'll do that a little bit later. But Hurley Bird is here. Hello. 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 Tacky is here. Good morning to Skills MF. What up, MF? Yeah, Ramos looked really good last night. Jake, yeah, we're going to talk about Birdsong and what they did with the rotation. Look, they're around these guys. I am not, but I'm just saying what I saw and what I've seen. But we shall see on that one as well. Enrique, it is tremendous to see you. Scott, good morning, Scott. Good morning to, oh, there's Bayers almost ready through. Oh, that was me. That was me, actually. Throwing in a last-second video. Yeah, that's what I was doing. I was throwing in, I got to have you ready for all this kind of stuff. Who else? But everybody's here today. Very nice. Hey, John Holmes, very good to see you today. Very, very nice. Christopher, good morning. Good morning. Dom, hello, Dom. It is great to see you. Dom's going to help me modernize my logo, I think. San Jose fan is here. Did I mention Enrique? Did I mention Rockin' New Era? Hello, everybody. Good morning, good morning, good morning. However you are watching, however you are consuming. By the way, I do know that there's an issue with Apple, Spotify, and the way they're not loading the show, so we're working on it. I got a tech working on it. That's not my bag. I can do enough to be dangerous, but there's something going on there. So if you listen to the podcast, which a lot of people do and have been hitting me up going, what's going on? It's been a few days since it uploaded. I'm doing everything right. I just don't know what's happening. There's something. So make sure that we get that fixed as well. So I think we are done saying hello and good morning. Make sure that you hit me up. Questions, comments, thoughts, a big part of the show. I like interacting with everyone. And if you are new around here, and I haven't said this in a while, so I just thought I would say it. You don't have to agree with what I say. This is a safe zone. It's just sports, everybody. No reason to get angry and mad. It's supposed to be the toy box. So let's have fun with this whole thing. We're passionate about it, but don't get pissed off and don't get angry. I don't like blocking people. It's not really what I do. I like everyone to have an opinion, but the only thing I say in this room is please don't get all nasty on each other and everything else. But we have a great community and we are glad you are here. All right, let's get going as we are 9 minutes into the show. As I said, we're going to do everything today. There's Brock, there's Giants, but right there, there's Jimmy Butler returning. And you see Wiggs the other night, before we get to the Jimmy Butler side of this whole thing, there's Wiggs, he'd been red hot. 42 the other night, and I gave you my theory on that. Somebody's got to score on bad teams. Somebody's got to grab board. Somebody's got to do those things. But I'm happy for Andrew Wiggins. He's not going to do that all the time. He is one of those guys, and it's really hard to score and do all those things on a really good team. So it's nice that he's doing what he's doing. I hope that he does well. I'm an Andrew Wiggins guy. Had a lot of off-the-court kind of things. Some people handle it better than other people. It obviously took control of his life, and the ups and downs, and you don't win the championship in 22 without two-way Wiggs in the way that he played. He drove people absolutely bonkers and bananas because he couldn't play that way all the time. And you and I talk about this all the time, which is, I just want to know what I'm getting from my guy. If you suck, then I know. Then I know where to slot you in a rotation or on the bench. If you're really, really good, then I know. But if you're inconsistent like Andrew Wiggins was at times, and that's been kind of the thing around his neck since he was the first overall pick, and of course Cleveland brought him over to Minnesota. Minnesota, he comes here, then he goes to Miami, was just the frustration of, is the dude awake? Is the dude, you know, is he going to have energy tonight? He's going to, you know, you don't hit shots every single night. But that's the difference between he and Jimmy Butler, is Jimmy Butler is going to find a way to impact the game, even if the shot's not going down. If the shot's not going down, he's going to get the three throw line. If he's not scoring on one end, he's going to defend. He's going to make a play. He's going to be an emotional leader. There's just different types of things that you can do to affect the game. Your shot is not always going down, just how it is. Even for Steph Curry, the best shooter of all time, which we'll get into in a second, sometimes the shot just ain't going down. Okay, how else can you affect the game? And too many times, not that Andrew Wiggins was this massive scorer, he wasn't. But how can you impact the games? And sometimes Andrew Wiggins was asleep at the switch. And I don't know exactly what was going on in his personal life myself. When I go through things like that, it makes me focus more on the work and it takes me away. And I like it, but some people cannot compartmentalize when it comes to things that are affecting their life. And to me, that's Andrew Wiggins. That's not a knock on Andrew Wiggins in any way, shape, or form. It's just how it is. Is some people can compartmentalize and it makes them better in their way. And then other people are like, it's just affecting me and I'm struggling with it. Sherarius Ward is a guy that comes to mind, and who could blame him? His almost two-year-old daughter died last year, and he couldn't play. He couldn't play like he did in 2023 when they went to the Super Bowl. His wife had PTSD. He's going home to that every single day. There's just, you know, you come to the facility, it's not easy to just say, okay, now I'm playing football, I'm going to be really, really good at it. It's just difficult. Same thing with Andrew Wiggins. His dad was dealing with drug issues, the former Mitchell Wiggins, who was an NBA player, and all sorts of health issues, and his father passes away, and it looked like Wiggins was going to be a much better player. But we always rumored forever and ever and ever, because of the contract, because of the number, and you got to match him in the NBA, that Andrew Wiggins was going to lead any trade that the Warriors were going to get. So we rumored about Durant and Zion Williamson and all, you know, and Paul George and all these different trades. It finally comes down that it's Jimmy Butler. And it's not that statistically Butler is better than Wiggins, because he isn't, but he just fits the team better. You know what you're getting from Jimmy Butler. Like tonight, and we're going to play this in just a second, he's downplaying this whole thing and this return to Miami, and I get it. He wants the focus to be on the team. He knows they have to win. He doesn't want it to be personal. He knows that the Clippers and Timberwolves are right behind the Warriors, so he doesn't want to make this about Jimmy Butler. He doesn't want to make it about Jimmy Butler with the team, with the media, hype it up. He doesn't want it, as much as he's kind of a center of the plate kind of guy, he doesn't want to put, and this is something I've learned about Jimmy, and maybe this is just early Jimmy, and maybe because he's alienated, I don't know if alienated is the right word, but he's worn out his welcome, let's just say that, in just about every place he's gone. But the beginning, and I showed you this graphic the other day, like the first 20 games with Jimmy Butler on every team that he's ever played for, other than the Bulls, that was the original team, but then he gets traded, you know, he goes to Minnesota, he goes to the Sixers, goes to the Heat, now he goes to the Warriors. Like their first 20 games, on average, are something like 16-4. I mean, the guy is just, you know, boom, it's like a comet. But long term, how is he going to feel about your team? So anyway, that's what is happening. Here is, let me play the video of Jimmy returning. And again, I'll play this as long as I can, but it's so loud in the gym that you may be like, I can't, what in the, Lund, what are you doing? So I'll play this as long as it is, as we can hear it, and then I'll kind of cut it at some particular point. But here is Jimmy with the media, mostly Miami media, asking him about his departure from the Heat after being suspended three times before finally being traded to the Warriors.
Pretty much, yeah. I think I knew in what direction I was going. Nobody ever asked me though, so y'all just all got to jump to assumptions and conclusions.
And for a team that you took to three Eastern Conference Finals, two NBA Finals, to suspend you three times, even now I heard there have been some bills forwarded your way also. Are you sort of surprised that it went from the best of the best to something so different?
Nah, not necessarily. I mean, you can talk about it whenever we talk about it later on, but I think the suspensions are more because they just didn't want me to be around the team. It wasn't anything that I actually did, because I didn't do nothing too drastic to deserve X amount of games being suspended. But it is what it is. Yeah, I got some bills, and so what? It's all taken care of.
What are your thoughts when you see Pat Riley tomorrow?
I got no thoughts. I don't got nothing to say to nobody. I don't know, hard feelings. I'm in a better place now for me. Continued success for those guys.
Jimmy, what's better about you?
What's
better about being in California as opposed to here?
I don't know. I guess I live in California. We've been winning a couple games as of late. A lot of friends of mine that I'm very, very, very close to also live in California. My people still out there with me.
Okay, so I kind of cut it because it was getting louder and louder and louder, but you get the gist of it. So I understand why he's saying what he's saying. There's a lot of emotion. It was a team that he was a leader of. It was a team that he took from the play-in to the NBA Finals. So there's a lot of things. But what he is doing as a professional, as you can tell right there, is not trying to put himself above the game, not trying to make him the big storyline because they got to win. You know, we've talked about this incessantly where we're looking ahead going, how high can they get up? Now they're looking behind them going, damn, we're one game ahead of the Clippers and the Timberwolves. So he doesn't want to make it about him. Now, it's laughable when he says, you know, I didn't really do anything. I mean, they suspended me three times because they didn't want me to rear around the team, but I really didn't do anything. What, a team's just suspend you for nothing? Like, you know what? Jimmy Butler, let's just not have him around the team. Like, the guy was acting like a child. I know he's a warrior and you love him now, but through the whole process, he wasn't playing hard. He was taking himself out of games. He wanted money. And it's funny, there's a piece, Anthony Slater did a long piece, and maybe we'll get more into that tomorrow. Because today we're focused on the game and his return to Miami and whether Steph is going to play. I'm going to play something from Steve Kerr in just a second. But he forced his way out of Miami. They weren't giving him an extension. He's 35 years old. He's looking to himself, I got to get another bite of the apple. I need a couple of more years. I need this money. Now, need between you and I, right? I mean, we need the money. But, you know, he ended up getting what? 100 and whatever it is, $112, $121 million, whatever the case may be. If you've ever seen, it's not a Cribs episode from MTV. But what it is it's one of those other knockoffs, and they show his, as he said, he lives in California, which is one of the reasons he is happy that he's here. But his house is ridiculous. I don't know what it's worth. Obviously, millions and millions and millions. But it's like it's like this rustic. It's like being in Italy. It's just unbelievable. And I'm sure he's got a whole staff. And so a lot of times you spend what you make. And I don't know what Jimmy Butler's financial situation is. You would assume that it's good, right? But so many guys leave the league in professional sports, leave their whatever their league is, and they're broke for some weird reason. And I'm not saying Jimmy Butler is. I'm just simply saying that, you know, here's a guy who's 35 and you think has made millions and millions and millions and has 10 generations of his family set up. I don't know that. Maybe he does. But I just know that money is one of the things and you can't get enough of it. And well, you and I will sit here and say, God, how much is enough? Like Josh Allen a couple of weeks ago or about a week ago when he extended his deal. He's like, how much more do I need? Like, everybody's looking at Josh Allen and comping it to Brock Purdy, which we'll get to in a minute. And Allen took $55 million. Allen took a little bit less. I think it's 19.7% of the salary cap. So everybody's pointing to that deal going, well, that's what Brock's going to get. And it's like, no, he's not. He's going to get more. And the weird reason why is because Josh Allen just said, I want other guys around me. I've got a ton of money anyway. Brock Purdy hasn't been paid yet. So Brock's going to get a ton of money. We'll get into that in a minute. But as you look at Jimmy Butler, and I know this for a fact because it was a very good source. He was going to Phoenix. They had the extension done. They didn't have a trade done because Bradley Beal said no. And then so they were going to play Durant. It was going to be Butler, and that was going to be the deal. But Bradley Beal wouldn't waive his no trade clause. There was no motivation for him to do it. And then he was like, I'm not going to Golden State because he didn't have a contract worked out. He didn't have an extension worked out. The minute they said, okay, Jimmy, fine. You pushed up against the wall. We need to do this deal. We're sitting in 10th place. Steph Curry is going to ask for a trade. I've gone through the scenario with you. I know that. I don't know that, but I was pretty sure that that's what Steph Curry was going to do. And Joe Lacob looked at it and went, we can't have it in like this. So I don't want to give this guy an extension, but I have to. The minute they gave him an extension, they had the trade already worked out. Then Jimmy Butler became a Warrior. So, and we'll talk about, like I said, the finances tomorrow. Anthony Slater has a great piece up, as he always does, in The Athletic, and it talks about Jimmy Butler says, no, it wasn't about the money. It wasn't about the extension. It was about winning and who could win. And it was like, so let me get this straight. You forced your way out of Miami because you didn't feel like you could win, which you actually could. And then because they wouldn't give you an extension, but it wasn't about the money. But the minute you said that the Warriors told you you could get an extension, then you were okay with coming here. But before you weren't, which was really, really weird. And at the time, by the way, a team that was winning, this team was mired in like 10th place. They weren't good. It wasn't like you could look at the Western Conference for the majority of the season. It's different with Jimmy now. But you know what I'm talking about. Like before Jimmy, I was going to call it BJ, but then people are going to say stuff. But before Jimmy, they were a 9th-10th place team. They weren't winning. Jimmy didn't come here because he looked at the Warriors and went, yeah, I'm really going to win there. They're 9th-10th place. they said extension, and you said, I'm listening. So it's, I don't really care about that, to be honest. Get paid. That's where all, that's what we're all working for. We're not being nice. It was funny. My, I told you this story before, but it happened again like 2 days ago. I was talking to my son, and he's writing for this thing called Sun Devil Source, which is like a rivals company. And it's for his first real job in media. He's been doing internships and all these things. And he's written 3 or 4 stories. And he was, he had a meeting with his editor, and they were telling him what they wanted to improve on and all that kind of stuff. And I said, that's just life. You're going to, you know, your writing style, you want to adjust it to your boss, just like everybody. Okay, my boss wants this, that, and the other. And I said, well, are you getting paid? He goes, yeah, well, I'm getting paid. And I go, did you ask him about it? He goes, well, I didn't think that, you know, that was the right time to ask what I was getting paid or when I was going to get paid. Or I'm like, that's the first thing. Like, getting paid is like the first thing. So like Jimmy Butler's like, getting paid is the first thing. Now, if we win, that'd be great. But getting paid is the first thing. He didn't force his way out of Miami because he didn't think they could win. They had Bam Adebayo and they had Tyler Hero and they, you know, Pat Riley's good and Eric Spoelstra's a hell of a coach and that's a great organization. And they told him they weren't extending him. And he's like, I am out of here. So it's just kind of funny to hear that video because he's like, I really didn't do anything wrong. Well, teams don't just suspend you. I mean, I like Jimmy and everything, but teams don't just suspend you for the hell of it. Yeah, you know, Jimmy Butler's been the leader of our team for a long time. And he's led us to the NBA Finals and we literally like the guy. But you know what? Let's just suspend him. I know he didn't do anything wrong, but let's just suspend him. Why not? It's just, you know, something to do. We're bored. So I thought that was pretty funny on Jimmy. But I expect him to play well, to be completely honest. I think Jimmy's going to throw in 30, grab 12 boards, 8 assists. I mean, I just think he's going to be like, okay, you think? And I think Andrew Wiggins will be up for this game. I hope Wiggs plays well tonight. I think that he deserves it, just the inconsistency versus what Jimmy brings night in and night out. And while Jimmy's going to downplay this, he is going to go bananas tonight, in my opinion. On Miami, and they will get a much-needed win. As far as Steph Curry is concerned, here is Steve Kerr, short and sweet. Don't blink, you'll miss it. This is encouraging for Steph to play tonight in Miami.
We didn't scrimmage or anything, but he was moving great. And, you know, surprised he knocked down a lot of shots.
All right, so there's Steve Kerr. So he's joking around, it seems to me, and I thought this the whole time. Let me get myself back up on the stage here. I thought the whole time that Steph Curry was going to play tonight in Miami. They just need him too badly. As you look at the standings, and I'm glad you asked, as you look at the standings, the, like I said, the Clippers and the T-Wolves do not play tonight. So there's nothing there, and that's pretty much what you're looking for. Houston does play tonight, a couple other games in the Western Conference, but generally speaking, nothing directly. So there is what I love to do, the bracket, still facing the Nuggets. Can we just stop that? But it's 6-3 versus the Nuggets, Rockets after that, who have been hot. Eastern Conference, whatever. Move to the Western Conference. There you go. Houston has, or excuse me, the Thunder have it locked up. Houston there. And again, we're what, 10 games left in the season. So it's going to be tough to catch Houston. Probably not going to catch Houston, 4 back in the loss. You could go anywhere from 3 to 8, though, as you look at this whole thing with about 10 games remaining in the season, 11 to be exact, but they're 41-30 to be sitting right there. So again, I look at loss column. So anyone with 28, the Nuggets, the Lakers, the Grizzlies at 28, they could catch those teams. Just to put that in perspective, 8-2 in their last 10, as you look at the second to the last column. So in their last 10, they've made up 3 on the Grizzlies, they've made up 5 on the Lakers, and they've made up 4 on the Nuggets. So the next 10, there's 11 left. So if the Warriors finish in a similar fashion, let's say in their last 11, they go something like 8-3, 9-2, they could be as high as 3. And they could be the 3-6 versus Denver, and they could have home court. Now, that would be massive. Because having to play in Denver, it's the toughest place to play in all of the NBA because of the altitude. So I don't like seeing Denver. We know what Denver did without Jokic and Murray, 10 days, 2 weeks ago, whatever that was. But having home court advantage could make a difference in that series, just how difficult it is. And you look at home road, Warriors are 23-14 at home, 18-16 on the road. And I would say that with Jimmy Butler, they are just that much better. So that's kind of a deceiving home record. So could they win the series if they had home court against the Nuggets? I still don't love it, but I'd much rather have that. So what's funny is with 11 games left in the season, they could get as high as 3, in my opinion, to the Nuggets. They could get as low as 8 where the Timberwolves are. And what scares the hell out of me is, I don't know if you watched the Suns last night. Durant went off last night. Booker hit a game winner. And so I know they're 35-37. I know they're not a great team, but again, you look at home court, they're 23-13. They're terrible on the road for some reason. They've won 4 in a row. I just don't want to see those teams. And if somehow Dallas, who's sitting there at 11, and they're not good, don't get me wrong, but they got Anthony Davis back. You know how much the Warriors struggle with Anthony Davis and his size. So I'm not saying the Suns and the Mavericks are good teams, but you get into that short, you know, one game, one and done game or two game or whatever the case, and Durant gets hot, or you've got Anthony Davis or some, just some weird situation like that, and all of a sudden we're looking at the Warriors going, I think they can do some damage in the Western Conference, and then all of a sudden they're out, and you're going, what happened? So still a precarious position that the Warriors find themselves in with 11 games to go, and they could be as high as 3 and as low as 8. It's absolutely crazy what the Western Conference is doing at this point. But this is a I hate the term must win, and I hate the term hate, but I don't like the term must win, because must win means you have to win or it's over. It's not must win tonight, but this is a winnable game. Miami has lost, what, 10 in a row? They're not good. So I hope Wiggs goes off. I hope Jimmy Butler goes off. I hope that Steph's sitting in the fourth quarter, because I think they have to play him tonight, because with 11 games left, you do not want to fall into the 7 or the 8. And if they lose tonight, as I just showed you, now they're tied as far as the loss column with those other teams. They have the tiebreaker over the Timberwolves. They lose the tiebreaker. In fact, they've lost all 3 games against the Clippers this year, and they haven't played them. It was late in 2024. They haven't played them this year, 2025, I'm talking about, the Clippers. So the Clippers win the season series. The Timberwolves, they have the season series over. So that's what's going on as far as the Warriors are concerned. Now, Steph Curry. So here's where we are. Wiggs, Curry update, Miami, Jimmy. That's where we are as far as the Warriors are concerned. So I'll hit up some comments and thoughts and a comment line on the Warriors, but that's where we are in the Warriors. Big game. By the way, 4:30. How nice is that? You get a 4:30. So we get off the show today, do some things, whatever, and then you get the 4:30 start. 4:30 starts are nice, like day drinking. And all of a sudden, it's like, it's over. Game's over by 7:30. You can do whatever you want. You can hang out with your significant other, whatever the case may be. Outstanding. It's very nice. Some other people have jumped in the room. Hi, J49. It is really nice to see you. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Jimmy did the Miles Garrett, Fossey. Absolutely, 100% he did. I'm not blaming Jimmy Butler. I'm not saying that. It's just that when you say things like that, you say, well, first of all, I don't know why they're spinning me. I didn't do anything wrong. It's like, bro. And then you say, well, you know, because there's a piece, Anthony Slater wrote the piece. And again, like I said, we'll talk about it more tomorrow, about how he's saying, well, no, it wasn't about the money. It was like, yeah, it was 100% about the money. Like Miami told you before the season, we're not extending you. And you turned into an ass, which I'm the same. I'd be the same way. Like, what do you mean you're not extending me? I'm the leader of the basketball team. I've done everything that you've asked. I've led us to all these different things. Okay, you're not going to extend me. Then I'm going to get the hell out of here and go to a team where somebody is going to extend me. And like I told you, I have it on really good authority. He was going to Phoenix. Bradley Beal's like, what's my incentive to drop my no trade? And only he and LeBron have no trade clauses. And that was stupid by Washington to give him one of those things. But he's just sitting in Phoenix going, number one, I stink. And number two, I'm not going to Miami. So deal with it. And that's why Jimmy Butler is a member of the Warriors. They had a deal worked out, a financial deal with Jimmy, didn't have a trade. Warriors had a trade, no financial deal. Jimmy said no to the Warriors. Warriors said, we'll extend you. Jimmy said, I love the Warriors. That's how it went down. It's crazy how that works. Oh, you're going to extend me at $121 million? All of a sudden, I want to move home to California and get a 13.3% tax hit. Crazy. Crazy. Let's see. What did I do? PTSD, already 2 shots this morning by John Lundgren. What's your drinking game? What did I do? What did I say? It's very possible that do I have a crutch word or something like that? Is that what I got? All right, let's get to the Brock Purdy piece. If we can always go back to Warriors, but episode 97, Miami Jimmy, Wiggs, Curry play, update. You've got all those things. I wrote this yesterday and put an accompanying video with this. So let me show you this piece that I wrote at johnlundunleashed.com. And if you would take a look at it, that would be outstanding. So there it is, johnlundunleashed.com, where you've got the homepage right there, podcast, YouTube, blog, contact. You got all the social media places to go. Predicting Purdy's heyday. And if you click on that after the show, there's a video that accompanies it. And basically, I just go over this whole thing. But I don't want to be too numbers driven and dorky here. But the main thing to come from this is these are the highest paid guys in the league for each year. And that was their quarterback rating, which isn't a perfect metric. But it just shows that a lot of guys got hurt. They weren't very good that year, which is my old go-to. You don't have to be the greatest. You only have to be the latest, which is what Brock Purdy is. But the thing that's more interesting in looking at the QB ratings and highest paid quarterback or highest paid player in the league from 2016 to 2025, which is a 10-year period. Look at the bottom where Andrew Luck is the highest paid at 24.6. to Dak Prescott this upcoming season at 60 and same as last year at 60, that's a 144% increase in 10 years at the quarterback position. 144% from 24.6 to 60, 14% per season. So when people say that Brock Purdy is not going to get paid, this is just the premise of this whole piece. When people say that Brock Purdy is not going to get paid a certain amount of money, the salary cap went up 9% year to year from 24 to 25. And in the last two off seasons, it's gone up almost $50 million because of all the platforms and the different things and Amazon and Apple's going to get involved. This money's going up, 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 which is nuts. So one of the metrics, and I've played this for you a bunch of times, so I'm not going to do it again. Mike Garofalo talked about the percentage of the cap that a quarterback takes. Joe Burrow's one, as you can see there, at 24.47. Trevor Lawrence and Jordan Love are interesting because they're seen as comps because of their age, etc. But Brock Purdy has been to two NFC championship games and a Super Bowl, and he's 25, and he's accomplished more both statistically and with team success than what Love and Lawrence have. So Love and Lawrence take 21.53% of the cap, which I'll do the math in a second, and they make $55 million in AAV, which is their yearly salary, right? To $55 million. So everybody's thinking to themselves, well, they're not going to get, and Brock's just not going to get that. Well, on average, a quarterback salary goes up 14%. The top guys every single year, 14% for the last 10 years, 144% in 10 years, and the cap just went up another 9%. It's going up. So you look at the average of the top 10 QBs in 2025, AAV 53, percent of cap 22.7, guarantees about 50%, total value is about $283 million, guarantees 126, and 5 years is what you're going to give these quarterbacks. So I don't want to overdo this. Let me just skip a bunch of crap down here. So this is where I say this is how I see it ending up. Total value, I think he's going to be third behind Mahomes and Allen. He's going to be ahead of Trevor Lawrence because they're going to go, Trevor Lawrence is not better than Brock. Average annual value, I think it's going to be 59. That's so that the 49ers can save face. Remember, on average annual value is a complete farce. All right. It doesn't matter because, as I point out here, Brandon Ayuk's deal, which we'll get into in a second, is 4-120 on paper. It's 3-76. Sam Darnold's deal with Seattle is 3-110 on paper. It's 1-35. Dre Greenlaw's deal for Denver is $35 million over three. It's 1-11.5. So it's all funny money. So that part doesn't matter. But for if I'm the 49ers and I'm trying to save face with the agent, please don't make me go to 60. Please don't make me go 5-300. I don't want to do 5-300. I'll do 5-295. He can be at 59. The agent's going to want for his ego 60.1, which is above Dak Prescott, and he has that argument to make. But I think then it comes down to fully guaranteed money because this is what actually Brock will get. It's not the funny money. It's not monopoly money. AAV doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But what matters is $145 million, he'd be fourth in fully guaranteed. Deshaun Watson, 230. He's not getting that. Josh Allen, 147. Burrow, 146.5. But Trevor Lawrence is at 142. He's going to get 145. His agent, again, is going to argue, I'm ahead of Trevor Lawrence. So I think he's going to give it 145. So there's what my prediction is. It could go above 60, but it's 59 at 21.3% of the cap, which is low. They're going to guarantee about 49%. The average is 47.9. The total value is going to be 295, so the Niners can save face that it's not 300. The guarantee is 145 million, which is fourth in the NFL over 5 years because that's what everybody gets. So we can make fun of me later and see, but I think it's going to be 295 with 145 guaranteed over 5 years. Now, the question is, as I put in the last paragraph here, how soon can it get done? And that's the big thing to me. How soon can it get done? Because you need it to get done. So anyway, you can read the details on that. I went over a lot of it, but go read the details at johnlundunleashed.com. And I guess the whole reason I did that is to illustrate to people that it doesn't matter where he is on your quarterback list. It doesn't matter that he was picked 262, which nationally, guys like Mike Florio just have this hard on for this pick 262, which is it's completely irrelevant. Like Mac Jones being the 15th pick in the first round, for some reason, is like we could justify it because he was a first-round pick. He's not better. So the fact that Brock was 262, some people just hold it against him. But the reality is he's not getting less than what Trevor Lawrence got at $55 million with all those guarantees I just showed you. He's not getting less than that. He's not getting less than Tua. He's not getting less than Jordan Love. He's more accomplished than all those quarterbacks. And while he's not one of the top three quarterbacks, and nobody's arguing that, as I often tell you, you don't have to be the greatest. You just have to be the latest. And as I showed you in those top 10, it wasn't that those were the best quarterbacks in the league necessarily. And the numbers showed it. They weren't the greatest when they had their season. Burrow got hurt. Rodgers got hurt. Luck got hurt. A lot of these guys got hurt. It was just, it was your time to be up. And that's the deal. They give the stick to the pinata to Brock Purdy, and it's his time to put on the blindfold and swing at that thing at the birthday party. It's his turn. And there's nothing, you know, statistically, if you look at all these things that he's accomplished, and yeah, last year he wasn't very good. But the 49ers are looking at the first 2 years Brock Purdy, then the third year Brock Purdy, with all the injuries on the offense and everything. And I'm not making excuses. Brock Purdy at times last year was like, I'm not paying that guy the money. But there's no debate about it anymore. And, you know, I talk about this in the video for Brock Purdy. If they wanted to use leverage, they could have used it with Sam Darnold and said, you know what, we're not going to pay Brock Purdy. Sam Darnold's 1 year and $35 million. That's what he got from Seattle. We'd much rather do that than give Brock nearly $150 million guaranteed, which is about what he's going to get. He might get that. I said 145. He'll probably get 145 to 150, maybe even more. Because like I said, 14% per season for the top quarterbacks over the last 10 years, it goes up. And 9% is what the cap just went up, and it's gone up 50. So it's just a math equation. As I kind of pointed out in that thing, it's AAV. It's all, and all the agent does is just to make sure he uses all those metrics to make sure that his guy is paid accurately. Let's just plug these numbers in. And then we're going to take a percentage of the guys last year who signed their deals. We're going to up it a certain percent, as I just told you. And that's what Brock Purdy is going to get paid. So there's no debate anymore. If there was, then the Niners would have looked into Sam Darnold. They didn't. If there was, they would have looked into Kirk Cousins. Remember, Kyle Shanahan loves himself some Kirk Cousins. Well, he's just floating out there with Atlanta. Why isn't he using him as leverage if they don't want to pay Brock? They're not going to do that. Mac Jones is not leverage. I've been asked about that. Mac Jones is not leverage, and Aaron Rodgers isn't coming here. But they had two viable options in guys that they know, in Sam Darnold and Kirk Cousins. And if they didn't want to pay Brock Purdy this money, and they know the going rate, they could have used those guys. And you don't normally see leverage out there in the quarterback market. But it was out there. And the 49ers decided not to use it, knowing damn well what it was going to cost to sign Brock Purdy. So he's getting signed. And he's probably, and I might have undervalued him. He might be over 60. Because the metrics say, honestly, the metrics say that he's worth over $60 million now. Just look at the way that guys are being paid. Look at the amount the cap is going up. Look at the average that the quarterbacks go up per season. It's 144% in the last 10 years, 2016. It's not that long ago. Andrew Luck was top paid at $24.6 million. Now Dak's at $60. And Mike Garofalo, I've played that for you a couple times. Like, I don't know that he's looking at the $60 million that, really? Because I do. Because the cap has gone up so much. All these different factors are in there. And it's, you know, everybody confuses Brock for this nice guy too. And that's one of the reasons they're going to pay him too. I'm not saying he's Steph Curry, but going to sleep at night, and I think I told this story yesterday, I might have told it in the video, going to sleep at night knowing that your quarterback is not going to end up on the police blotter in the morning, and that he's going to say the right things and do the right things, you want to hand that kind of money to Brock Purdy. I kind of want to hand it to Deshaun Watson. I don't think I want to hand it to Shedeur Sanders. You know, there's certain guys that I'm just not really comfortable handing that kind of money to, because I'm not sure how they're going to represent my organization. And as a quarterback, whether you like it or not, you're the face of the organization. By being the quarterback, you're the CEO. Sorry, it comes with a job. So you get paid a ton of money, and you get paid a ton of money for what you do mostly on the field. But the stuff off the field, when you take the blame, even though you know that the receiver ran the wrong route, or that you keep morale up, or that just in the offseason, this is not Brandon Ayuk. This is not Trent Williams. If he held out, you got to have your quarterback in there. He's got to be throwing to wide receivers. He's got to be leading in OTAs. If you want to have a season that is completely opposite of 2024, he's got to be in here, and they've got to get it done. So I'm not going to say that's as important as getting the deal done, because getting the deal done is the number one thing. But it can't be a timing issue like last year, where they're going back and forth with Ayuk. And most people are going, well, Brock would never do that. It's not in Brock's hands. It's up to the 49ers of how quickly they want to get it done. Everybody's filling in the blanks. As complicated as these contracts can be, as weird as this is, it's pretty simple. The work's already been done. The parameters are out there. The 49ers may not like it, but the parameters are out there, and there's no leverage to be done at this point of the offseason. You're not going out and getting Kirk Cousins. Sam Darnold's already signed in Seattle. Aaron Rodgers is not a fit for this organization. Mac Jones is not leverage for the 49ers. That's not why he was signed. He's a wild card. And he's not talented as far as physically like Sam Darnold was. So he's not, yeah, Mac Jones can do what Brock Purdy did, please. He cannot. But it's okay. If somebody wants to believe that, that's totally fine. We are open to all opinions on this show, but I'm just telling you, Mac Jones is not leverage. So now they're in this corner going, what do we do? And it's not like receivers where I just scratched my head and I've told you this, and we can go into this whole Brandon Ayuk thing. It just made no sense to me, the whole Brandon Ayuk thing, the entire 2024 season, like the offseason. Like, what are we doing? Why is this dog and pony show going on? Why is this circus going on? The receivers coming into the league every single year. You can trade for them. You can sign them. You can draft them. Like, it's not like the quarterback position. There's not enough guys in the world who can play quarterback. There's three insanely good ones, and there's about five others that are pretty good. And then after that, it's a total crapshoot. And there might be 15 total that on a given day would be really, really good. But that's it. Now, receivers, there's 50 of them. And there's, even though it's not a great receiver draft, apparently coming into 2025, there's a bunch of them are going to be good in the league. And if you had let Brandon Ayuk go, let's just say that Kyle Shanahan doesn't run up those stairs, right? And you let Brandon Ayuk go. This offseason, Davante Adams was available and Cooper Kupp was available, and you could trade for certain guys. And like, you could get receivers. Seattle's rebuilding their entire receiver room. They traded DK Metcalf. They released Tyler Lockett. Now they have Jaxon Smith-Njigba. They signed Cooper Kupp. They're probably going to draft a guy. You can, in an offseason, quite easily, to be honest with you, completely change your wide receiver room. And the 49ers might do the same thing. I don't know how pissed off Jed is in terms of this is the big thing and why there's a rumor around Brandon Ayuk, because on April 1st, and I can't wait till his day passes, that they owe Brandon Ayuk a $22.8 million check and the $24.6 million salary guarantees. So if Jed York is that pissed off about the contract and wants to make it personal, he's not going to pay Brandon Ayuk, and he's going to trade him for pennies on the dollar. And that's where my problem comes in is, okay, you're going to take another cap hit for a player who isn't going to play for you this year. You still need somebody to catch the ball. And I'm sorry, I don't know what Ricky Pearsall is going to be. Juwan Jennings is not a number one receiver. He's a nice complementary receiver that when you have an Ayuk and you have hopefully what Pearsall is going to do in the slot and you have a Jennings, then they all fit together. And we talk about it in basketball all the time. There are certain guys who are number one options, twos and threes. Juwan Jennings is like a 2-3 option. He's a really nice player, but he's not a lead guy. He's not a number one receiver. So all of a sudden, if you trade Ayuk, okay, you were pissed off. You're mad about the contract. You don't want to write the check. I understand. Jed's like, I don't want to stamp the check. All right, I get it. No, I don't. But, you know, I guess if I had to write a $22 million, $22.8 million check, I'd probably be pissed. I get it. Kind of. No, I don't. But you know what I mean. So I've never written a $22.8 million check. I understand why he would want to move on and just say, you know, we're taking all these hits for guys who are not on this roster. Let's just do it all. Let's just do it all in one offseason. I understand that part of it. So if they do that, then it's like, here's another need that they need, right? Come draft time. Need defensive lineman, need offensive lineman, might need a corner, might need a safety, might need depth at running back. Now we add a wide receiver because our wide receiver core is Ricky Pearsall, unproven, Juwan Jennings, who's not a number one receiver. DeMarcus Robinson's a one-year fill-in type, but I don't think they have the luxury to say, well, geez, let's take the kid from Arizona in the first round or something like that. I don't see that at all. So anyway, the Ayuk thing, as far as the latest, and I say right there, more Ayuk rumors in the middle of the chalkboard there. It says more Ayuk rumors. It's an unfounded report from a guy out of Cleveland who last year, and I think Cam Inman wrote about this, a guy out of Cleveland last year that threw a dart against the board on Brandon Ayuk. And a few months later, it came true, not true so much as that Cleveland was in on this whole thing. And to me, that's just a dartboard throw. And so that's this guy's history. And as I told you last week and exposed last week, Greg Bedard's a really good NFL source. But the source of the New England rumor last week was Greg Bedard saying, you know, I have a feeling in my bones. That's what he said. I have a feeling in my bones that the Patriots aren't done at wide receiver. And he mentioned T. Higgins, Ayuk, and A.J. Brown. On a feeling in my bones. And then that became a rumor that Ayuk's going to the Patriots. And I went, oh my God, like, does nobody do any work whatsoever? Just like check sources at all. And I'm not Walter Cronkite sitting here. I'm not trying to be, you know, Lester Holt in the nightly news. I'm not trying to do that kind of stuff. Although he's done with that too. I'm not trying to do that. But what I'm saying is that there's a tiny bit of where did this come from? And the guy from the Browns is not a reliable source. And while Greg Bedard is a reliable source with the Patriots, he wasn't reporting it. In fact, he texted me later in the day and said, I'm not reporting that. And I said, yeah, if you'd read the tweet that I said, because, you know, it says click for more, and I guess people can't do that anymore. It's 148. No, it's, I guess if you pay the premium like I do, I think it's 270 characters or something. But apparently he didn't click on the read more. I said right there, he's not reporting this. This is not a story. This is, I have a feeling in my bones that the Patriots are looking at receivers still. And that was the basis for everyone to go crazy in a slow time after free agency and before the draft, the rare dead period in the NFL offseason where everybody's just going bonkers over this thing. Now, he may get traded. As I said, he may get traded because they don't want to write that check. But it doesn't make any logical sense. It's emotional. It means that Jed York is saying, I can't do this. I can't stamp this check. I'm pissed. I'm upset. Like this whole offseason, we're just doing it in one fell swoop. That's a personal thing. From a football, just a purely football standpoint, you put all this time, effort, and money into Brandon Ayuk. You don't have other guys to catch the football. And oh, by the way, his value, if he was a stock, is at the lowest point it could possibly be at. So from a football standpoint, it makes no sense. From a financial standpoint, that you don't want to write the check, that you want to take all this dead cap space in one fell swoop and just say to heck with it, this is what we're going to do this year, that makes sense. That makes sense. So are you doing it financially or are you doing it from a football standpoint? I don't know. Only Jed can answer that question. But as far as the latest rumor is concerned, if something happens, it's not because of this report. It's just, again, it was a thing where it was like 2 and 2 is 5. Doesn't make sense. So that's where we are with more Ayuk rumors. Let's see. I'm going to get to this Cam Ward thing in just a second. So that's what I have as far as 49ers are concerned. And check out johnlundunleashed.com. Let's go out to the chat and see what people are saying about that part of things. Do you think I need a mock? Do I need to do a mock draft? Yeah, like I told you, I can't pass mock drafts. Like if there's a mock draft, I cannot pass it up. I read all mock drafts. So I don't know if I don't know. Maybe I'll do one. I don't know. I read mock drafts. I don't know that I've even done a mock draft ever. I don't know if I want to do a mock draft. It's a lot of work. I can do a Niners mock draft. I'm not doing like a whole first round. I don't know what other teams' needs. I laugh so hard at people who do mock drafts and like will do certain things and to certain teams. And I'm like, you're not paying attention. Like clearly, you know, a few teams maybe, but you're not paying attention because there's some picks where you're like, that's no chance. Not happening, man. No way. All right. What else do we have? Anything else on the Niners? Anything on Ayuk? Anything on Purdy? What do you think of my 5-295 with 145 to 150 guaranteed? What do you think? Too much? Not enough? All right, so there's that. All right, let's go to, I just want to play this really quickly. And I don't know if I think teams are smarter than this. But then again, you go back to 2021 and Trey Lance made this exact throw. And Zach Wilson at the BYU Pro Day did this exact throw. And everybody reacted the same way. There is no defense on the field. There is no defense on the field. So Cam Ward had his pro day yesterday and everyone was fawning all over him. And the throw I'm going to show you is a staple now of pro days, because what these guys do is they roll and then they throw it as far as they possibly can. He would have gotten smashed. There's defense. I tell you all the time, the physical skills are something, but what Brock Purdy brings to the table as far as the mental side, you can't measure that. And that's why he was picked at 262. You just don't know. So the physical skills are one thing. The mental skills are totally different. How quickly can you read a defense, where guys are going to be? They change right when the snap happens. Uh-oh, they're doing it to confuse you. Now you've got to read the same thing as your other is three or four receivers that you have out on routes as 300-pound men are trying to rip your face off. And this has nothing to do with that.
For his body of work. There's a little spin out. Oh, here we go. Is this a special?
That's a fadeaway.
Yeah, we'll take it.
And it's just, I guess they must get ratings at it, but people must go crazy over stuff like that. I have no idea. But have we not learned? Maybe we have. Maybe I'm not giving NFL teams enough credit. But after Trey Lance made that exact throw, after Zach Wilson made that exact throw, after Justin Fields made that exact throw, have we not learned? Have we not learned that those QB days, in fact, they don't want to work out. So Cam Ward didn't work out, didn't throw the ball at the combine. If I'm an NFL team, like Tennessee, I guess, has to go because I think they're going to take him. Cleveland has to go. They're the number 2 pick. The Giants have to go. They're the number 3 pick. But I'm not going to that dog and pony show. If I'm work out at the combine. I just want to see you against players in a similar environment. And we can just see. Because him running around in shorts and throwing a ball rolling left and throwing down the field like that, which everybody now is doing as part of their routine. So what they do is, and I don't know if he's working with him, but Jordan Palmer, Carson Palmer's brother, works with a lot of these guys, and they get these routines down, and it's the exact same thing. Even Johnny Manziel had an amazing pro day. Everybody was like, oh my God, Johnny Manziel, he did that rollout throw like that. He ran around, and they had the guys with the brooms and running around, and he hit a bunch of passes. There's no defense on the field. So the NFL Network must be bored or whatever the case may be, and they send those guys down there, and then they interview them and all that kind of stuff. And I heard Cam Moore say, oh, I just crushed it today. I just crushed it. It's like, dude, I could crush it. I could crush it with no defense. And we talk about it like that team has no defense. No, there was literally no defense on the field. It wasn't just like there's 12 or 11 guys on the field and they suck. There was literally no one on the field to defend your throws. You had no pressure. You had nothing. In the real game, you have about 2.1, 2.2, 2.3 seconds to make a decision as guys are trying to kill you, and you're trying to be on the same page as three or four guys in the route, and you can't bring your eyes down, and you can't be nervous. You got to stay in there and take those hits. That's the game. That's the position. Position is not, hey, roll left and bomb it as far as you can. I bet there's a ton of guys who could do that. A lot of guys who are not even in the league anymore who still have their arms, the arm strength, they could do it. Like, I bet a Ben Roethlisberger, I don't know how old Ben Roethlisberger is, what is he, 40-something? Like, I bet he could roll left like that and bomb it 75 yards down the field. I don't know if it's that much, but a lot of old guys could do that. So what? They could go through a workout like that, a bunch of guys. It doesn't mean anything. It drives me crazy. And somebody, I don't know, maybe they're not going to draft them based on that. Maybe people are really smart, but my God, man. See, here's a great point. Jaden Daniels, he got his mental gifts. That's true. The VR stuff. I mean, Jaden Daniels, like, I don't know how you measure what he had. And I'm not down on Caleb Williams. I think Caleb Williams is going to be fine. But I remember Caleb Williams having the same kind of workout at SC. And he rolled his left. He threw that ball. And everyone's, oh. He just solidified. That's what Cam Ward said that yesterday. He goes, I solidified my my draft position at number one. With what? Throwing against air? I'm just like, oh, my God. Please tell me the teams aren't fooled by that still, especially after the bomb of the 2021 draft where Fields and Trey and Zach Wilson made those exact throws. And I remember the NFL Network being there going, oh, my God. Oh, this guy is so – look at this guy. I'm like, ugh. So there's my little small rant on that. All right, baseball-wise, let's move on to some baseball things as we are 52 minutes into the show. Thank you for coming out today on a Tuesday edition of the show. So let me preface it with this. I am not around the Giants 24/7, 365. I was not down at spring training, although that was my original plan. I will be, this is what's going to be really cool about the Bay Area Sports Collective and John Lund Unleashed. So I'll be going to a lot of Giants games, doing, you know, quick hitters and interviews and going to the locker room and everything like that. So, which is my, that's where I started in the business. So I'm really excited to, once the Warriors playoffs hit, once baseball season hits, you know, obviously next year with the Niners, just going down and being more of a reporter than I had time to do when I was at KBR. I just didn't have as much time. I had a show from 10 to 2. So that's when the Niners, for example, are all talking. So I'll have an opportunity to go down and cover more games and all those kind of things which is what I originally did in this business. So I'm really excited about it. So long story short is I'll find out more about the Giants than I haven't been able to do in the past. So I love Birdsong. I gotta be honest. I think Birdsong is awesome. I've watched him. I had him out on the patio. Like I said, I think Hayden Birdsong has the mentality. He has the stuff, but I wasn't around him all spring. And so they choose Landon Roop, who I think is really, really good. And this is the second straight spring that Landon Roop has just blown people away down at spring training. And they just decided, you know what, he's going to be the fifth starter. Roop has long experience out of the bullpen. Hayden Birdsong really doesn't. Hayden Birdsong's a starter. So what I would have done is I would have made Birdsong the starter. Roop's been the guy. But really what makes a lot more sense is to say, okay, somebody else is going to be the long guy. We're going to put, if Birdsong's not ready for the rotation, then have him be down in AAA and try, you know, build him up six or seven innings. I really don't want him sitting in the bullpen. I mean, he's a nice piece to have, but I don't really want him sitting in the bullpen. And I'm not going to say that I want Jordan Hicks as the seventh inning guy anymore, because it's like, he's going to be the first starter. And I think just like last year, he's going to get off to a nice start. And I said this, I didn't like the contract. I wanted to be in the bullpen. I said this last year, he got off to this great start. Everyone was freaking out, Lud, you're stupid, which I know. But, you know, you don't know what you're talking about, this, that. And every single person who said that to me, I said, let's just wait. Let's just see long term. It's not about the first month. It's not about the first 2 months. Let's see what a pitcher can do over the long haul of the season. And what happened was he ran out of gas. And when he did pitch, he was five and fly, and sometimes less than that, which taxes your bullpen. I expect that he's going to be the same thing, even though he's even more stretched out. This is going to be a second year starting. I just have a sense that Jordan Hicks is going to do five and fly again. He's going to be really solid early in the season. He's going to get tired as the season goes on. They're going to put him in the bullpen when what they should have done the entire time is have Hayden Birdsong and Landon Roop be the fourth and fifth starters. They have earned it. I think they have earned it. And it's, you go into spring training, and I've explained this before, but you go into spring training and fans think that there are a bunch of open positions. And if you play really well in spring training, you're going to win one of those positions. It happens, but 90% of the jobs are already set. And so while Jordan Hicks didn't fall on his face, he was good in spring, not great. Roop and Birdsong were better. But it wasn't that he would have had to fall on his face, have an injury, something like that. Like Kyle Harrison, for example, we talked about it yesterday. He had a virus. He lost 13 pounds. I don't know what's going to happen with Kyle Harrison. It's going to depend on how well Roop and Birdsong pitch. Maybe they convert him to reliever. Maybe this is just a bump in the road because of the virus. I don't know. But clearly this team has, I don't know, six starters, decent, maybe seven starters. They might have some decent depth on this team. Birdsong is there. As I said, Hicks is there. You know, the first three, and encouraging again for Robbie Ray. And last night, we're going to get into this tomorrow. ESPN, if you go to ESPN.com right now, they have the power rankings and the, I don't know why I say it like that, because I think power rankings are so stupid, but you don't win anything for it. You don't get in the playoffs for it. You don't get any money for it. It's just somebody's opinion. But they're 22nd, I think, and they're in tier four when there are five tiers, and they're talking about the season and how they would, and we'll get more into that tomorrow. Today's really not the day to do that. But I bring this up because they talk about the pitching being the issue for the Giants and the hitting being more ahead than what the pitching is. And my thing is, I look at it the other way. I think the pitching is going to be fine. They had the fewest amount of innings pitched by starters last year, did the Giants. Verlander at 42 still makes me nervous, but we'll see. He had a great spring. Robbie Ray looks like he's completely recovered from Tommy John, so he's going to give more innings. Bob Melvin is a veteran manager. I think that he's going to give the first three guys in his rotation. Think about this. Logan Webb again led the major leagues in innings pitched. But then after that, they had the fewest innings of any pitching staff in Major League Baseball. That's with Logan Webb. So Webb's going to pitch his innings unless he gets hurt, but he's going to do what he's going to do. Verlander at 42, we'll see. Robbie Ray looks like he's recovered. And then four and five right now, it's Hicks and Roop. But one of the reasons why they had the fewest innings, because Hicks is going maybe five, and we'll see what Roop can do as far as the long term. But you can just see Birdsong is just built to be that guy. He just looks like a stud. He looks like he's a Logan Webb-ish. I'm not saying they pitch the same. But what I am saying is you look at him just physically and you say, there's a guy that's going to go seven. There's the guy that's going to give us innings. That's going to help us with a bullpen the entire season. And what happened with the Giants a lot of times last year was all these short outings, you're burning your pen, constantly burning their pen. So I actually have more belief in their rotation than what ESPN and ESPN saying. They think that the hitting is going to be fine and that they added Willy Adames and these kind of things. To me, I have big time questions about the hitting. Now, Ramos last night going 3-for-4 and hitting a home run, that's big. So if Ramos and but it's if, right? The theory of if Lamont Wade Jr., if Tyler Fitzgerald, the left side of the infield's fine. If Patrick Bailey's more than a defender, if Ramos is what he showed last night and his first half Ramos versus second half, if Jung-Hoo Lee, and I don't know what to make of Mike Stremski, maybe if Matos, those kind of things. So offensively, I think there's a lot more ifs than there is with the pitching staff. But I'm going to be positive. And like I said, Larry and I are going to do that thing on Thursday. And we're going to start on Friday night, but Thursday, Larry and I are going to do that show that we're going to do on every Friday, but we want to test it out. So Thursday, be here. I think the game starts at what, 1 o'clock on Thursday for opening days? Isn't it about 1 o'clock? Somebody correct me if I'm wrong on that. But I think that's what it is. I think that's what it is. All right, if pigs fly. I got you. I feel you. Hicks was the best pitcher April through June. The kids haven't shown they can pitch the whole season either. I would agree with you. April through June, the guy was great. But the problem is to me, the five and fly, there is value in what Logan Webb gives you, which is seven innings. He's not going to do it all the time, but he led the league in innings again. And long term, it helps your pen. And I think that what you do, just as a general sports philosophy and professional sports, college too, but just professional sports, because that's mainly what we talk about. which is put guys in a position to do what they do best. And to me, Jordan Hicks' best spot on the Giants and where he can help the most is not as a starter, because you have depth at starter. Now, we'll see how they put the seventh inning, eighth and ninth inning together. I believe it's going to be Duvall and Walker in the eighth and ninth. But in today's baseball, you need 7, 8, 9. And I'd rather see, and I say this again and again and again, I'd rather see Hicks blowing 102 in the seventh inning and going all out than throwing 96, 97. And then petering out and then being done after five innings and then having to tax my bullpen. He was really good. I agree with you. He was really good April through June. But then he got tired. And then it was like, okay, what do we do here? And they're going to do that exact same thing. Now, maybe I'm 100% wrong and he's built up and he's going to be able to do these things. But my inclination is he's going to be the same guy and we're going to go through the same thing. And their record was what their record was. And he was a contributing factor in them burning out the bullpen and having the fewest innings pitched by starters. And then I scratch my head and I go, you're going to do that again? When you have a guy like Birdsong who's proven he's ready. Roop is going to be in the rotation. We'll see what happens with Kyle Harrison. But that's why I prefaced everything at the beginning of this whole thing with, I'm not around the team. Now, what I will do is when the season gets going, I'll be around the team a lot more now that they're back from spring training. But I wasn't down at spring training. I only heard what I read. I only heard what I, or only can base it on what I saw. So we saw short videos of guys. And what I saw from Verlander looked really great. What I saw from Robbie Ray looked really great. But I didn't sit there behind the plate for 9 innings and say, this is what he did, or 7 innings or 6 innings or whatever they did. I wasn't around it. I didn't talk to Bob Melvin. When the season starts, I'm going to do those kind of things. And then I can see with my own eyes, and then I'll be able to tell you, hey, look, I don't think Roop's the guy. I don't think, I was wrong. Birdsong's not the guy, whatever. But just from afar, I would have liked to have had Birdsong and Roop as the five and Hicks in the seven. And what that does is that puts everybody in their best possible place. That's what I think. And so philosophically, that's kind of how I look at it. And the great teams, that's what they do. A certain guy will work with one team and he won't work with another in every sport. And people scratch their head and they go, why is that? Because the great teams, the great organizations look at a person and they say, this is what they can do. And that's the position we're going to put them in. Not let's just throw this up against the wall because he's got a big contract and we're just going to have him do everything. Have them do what they're great at. And I just don't think Jordan Hicks is a great starter. He's going to have decent numbers, as I said, early in the season, but at the cost of being out there just for five innings every single game, which isn't bad. But I just think that using him 3 times a week, 4 times a week out of the bullpen as the seventh, eighth, and ninth guy, if you can play a 6-inning baseball game, if the Giants can play a 6-inning baseball game and go 7, 8, 9 with those three guys, I think they're going to be more successful than using Jordan Hicks once a week as a starter for 5 innings. Could be wrong, and I'll admit that. What else do we have today? Hello. Can you get around the Dubs? Can I get around as far as the Warriors? What? We talked a lot about the Warriors today. By the way, make sure that you go to the beginning of the show. You can do it right now. Or, like I said, I'll put the chapters up later, and we will get the podcast fixed. I don't know what's going on with that, but Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your favorite podcast, we'll get that back up there. Don't know why that is not working, but we will figure it out. All right, what do we got? Well, yeah, I'm going to be boots on the ground. Absolutely. I'm excited to do this because, like I said, that's how I got into sports radio and into this business was I was a reporter. And that was my first thing. And I've told you that. We played that thing. I worked for the Utah Jazz Radio Network. That was my first thing. I was a sideline reporter and went to all the shoot-arounds, went to Portland, was a beat guy, went to all the, everything like that. And that was kind of my thing. And then when you get into the larger markets and you start doing a talk show, it's like, well, I'm doing a show from 10 to 2. I wasn't going to the day games, night games. Yeah, you could go. But the reality is that you're prepping for your show, and it's better for me to watch the game, make notes, talk about a bunch of things. I'm going to be in the air for 4 hours. So it's just kind of the way it goes, but it's going to be exciting. And I'll post a ton of stuff during the baseball season, like I said, during Warriors playoffs. And then next season, of course, with the 49ers, I'll be able to go down there, kind of like what Krug is doing, where he goes down and he's in all the press conferences and doing all those kind of things. And it allows you to be around the guys and get a better feel for the team. So it's going to be really cool. Good to have you back, Pine Needle. Very, very nice to have you back in the house today. Is there any video I've missed? No, I played everything there. Make sure I haven't missed anything because I do have a caboose at the bottom of the lotto story. But let me make sure that I did not miss anything. Roop wins 5. I did that. Roop wins 5. There you go. There is the official thing. Wigs, I did that. Oh, let me do this. Just because this is one of the weirdest things I've ever seen anyone say. This is back to basketball, so I'm jumping around a little bit here. Did you see this morning? Doc Rivers says he doesn't get enough credit for winning three games in playoff series where he blew 3-1 leads. Quote, no one tells a real story, and I'm fine with that. It's unfair in some ways. I don't get enough credit for getting the three wins. I get credit for losing. And the first thing I thought of was, you know that Kobe Bryant, in fact, I should have loaded the video, but then YouTube probably would have made me take it down. But where Kobe Bryant says, job finished? Job ain't finished. Because they were up 2-0 right in the NBA Finals, and Kobe Bryant was sitting there in kind of a surly mood, and a reporter goes, how come you're in such a bad mood? And Kobe goes, job finished? And he goes, well, you're up 2-0. I mean, you think you'd be in a better mood? And he goes, job's not finished. Like, you're up 3-1. The toughest thing to do is to close the team out. So you don't get credit for the three wins. You only get credit for winning a series. The point is to win a series. The point is to win a championship. Like, that's one of the most asinine things I've ever heard. I don't get credit for being up 3-1 in the series. Yeah, because you blew the series. The whole point is to win the series, not win three games, not get close. Ah, I won three games. Weird. Just weird. What a weird comment. I don't get credit for the three wins. No one tells a real story. I'm fine with that. It's unfair. I don't get enough credit for getting three wins. I get credit for losing. Yeah, because you lost. I saw that this morning. Like, what are you talking about? This is really, really weird. Really weird. The other thing I wanted to bring up here, and I don't know if my Sacramento friends are in the house today, but this is another thing. That's a picture from John Shea at Sutter Health, and I'm not ripping Sacramento. I'm not. I think it's really cool. Sacramento fan. I'm big into Oakland because I did Raiders for a long time, and I worked for 95.7 The Game and when they carried the A's and all that kind of stuff. So, look, I love A's fans, and I'm pissed. You know, I'm upset that they're out of Oakland, and I'm glad Sacramento, to an extent, gets an opportunity to see Major League Baseball, but that's not a Major League Park. And it's not a rip on Sacramento at all, but that's not a Major League Park, and they shouldn't be playing there. And it's just, I saw that picture. It's a beautiful night. Don't get me wrong. That's a beautiful night. It's a packed house. I get it. They made all these renovations. I've got to get my butt up there once the season starts and see what a game looks like up there to make a full opinion. But that's a great picture by John Shea. Just beautiful. But I've been to minor league ballparks, major league ballparks. I've been to just about every major league ballpark. I did one of those summer trips. Like, I'm a huge ballpark guy when it comes to baseball. But I can't believe they're playing. I still can't believe they're playing the minor league park. I mean, that's a minor league park. It's not a rip on Sacramento. It's not. I hope everything works out. I hope it's great. I actually hope they don't go to Las Vegas and they figure something out and they stay in California somehow. So at least, I don't know how angry A's fans are as far as like, I'm not driving up to Sacramento. Like, maybe you are, maybe you're not. I don't know. My son has been an A's and a Raiders fan. He's now 21 his entire life. And to him, it doesn't matter where they go. He's always going to be a Raiders fan. Doesn't matter where they go. He's always going to be an A's fan. That's just what he is. It's bred into him. It's what he is. It's who his teams are. It doesn't matter to him. But as I watch that, I'm not denying that that is just a beautiful, beautiful picture. Wonderful. But that's a minor league ballpark. This is what it is. It's not a major league ballpark. And the A's are going to play there. And I saw something this morning, ESPN, great picture. Don't get me wrong. And I don't want it to get misconstrued. I am going to go up there and I want to see it for myself. And I know they've made a lot of advancements and all these kind of things. And I think it was Susan Slusser's piece, wrote a piece on it. And that's great. And that's fine. I just can't believe that Major League Baseball has allowed this and they have made the A's the farce that they have become. And it's not because of the front office, because I know a lot of people in the front office and a lot of people who work for the A's and I like them. And it's not about the players. It's just like, it's better that, I don't know. I don't want to go on a tangent about it, but it's I can't believe they're, even for a little while, are playing there. Not a rip on Sacramento. Love Sacramento. Totally cool. But it's just, it's weird. Like, I saw that and I'm like, that's a beautiful picture of a minor league ballpark. Beautiful picture of a minor league ballpark. That's what it is. I don't disagree with you on that. The Vegas thing, I don't think about it every single day, and I'm not angry and I'm not mad. I just hope, because it's John Fisher, that it falls on his face and they don't ever get there. I really do. That's just what I say. That's just what I think. Yeah. Look, if they built, hi Mary, it's cute. And I hope they stay in at Sac, a real ballpark. Yeah. That's what I'd like to see. If they want to stay in Sacramento, if it doesn't work out in Vegas, and believe me, Vivek Ranadive is not being just a nice guy. He's hoping that Vegas falls straight through right on their face and he gets to somehow be the backup plan for the A's and they build a ballpark in Sacramento and they live happily ever after. That's what he's hoping for. He's not hoping that's a temporary thing. He's hoping that's what happens. Yeah. It's like I said, I'm not ripping anybody. It's a beautiful minor league ballpark. beautiful minor league ballpark. Very nice. And from what I hear, they've made a lot of nice renovations. But part of the fascinating, one of the fascinating stories of baseball season, and I can't wait till it starts. I'm a huge baseball fan. One of the fascinating parts is what the reaction is going to be when teams go up there and play. Not the city, not a rip, nothing like that. It's just when they go in that ballpark and they play in that ballpark, it's going to be like, what is, like, especially in the dead of summer at 105 degrees, like, what is it? What's that going to be like? What are players going to react like? It's going to be interesting. And like I said, it's nothing against Sacramento. It's just for Major League Baseball to have a team play for as long as they've got to play in that stadium. I don't know how it came to this. I do know how it came to this because I've been around long enough to know, but it's just like, oh my God, like, here's an idea. Let's have them play in a minor league ballpark. If you had any commissioner with any set of balls, he would have said, we're not doing that. Like, try again. We're not doing a temporary home in a minor league stadium. What else we got? Where else can we go? You guys work it out with Oakland. You figure something out. You guys marry each other for a short period of time. You know, like my first wife and I, for example, we were underwater in a house. I lived downstairs. She lived upstairs. It's just what we had to do. You know, and that's not the perfect comparison. But what I'm saying is, I know you don't like each other. That's fine. But you got to live together until we can figure something out, until you can get to Vegas or whatever the case may be, because we're not sticking in a minor league park. As beautiful as a park as that is, we're not sticking you in a minor league park. We cannot do that. Because as beautiful of a picture as that is, and that's a beautiful picture, and it's a beautiful minor league park. It is. I'm fascinated as one of the storylines of the baseball season of how players react. And, you know, I have a feeling, maybe I'm wrong here. Generally speaking, guys are nice, and they're not going to rip things, and they're going to, you know, like, look, we come in, we play for a few games. It is what it is. I'm not going to rip the ballpark, whatever. But then there's going to be that guy that goes, come on, man, what are we doing? So we'll see. Because generally speaking, guys are nice. And the way that I looked at it is, I was living in Detroit and the Super Bowl came to Detroit. And I was on Radio Row and all these person after, and I had covered the Super Bowl many years. And they would rip cities and everything like that. It was a big deal. And in Detroit, everyone would sit down with me during that week of Super Bowl Radio Row and tell me how great it was. Meanwhile, it was snowing sideways in Detroit. It was an awful place to have a Super Bowl. And everyone would sit down and go, no, they've really done a really nice job of it. I'm like, stop it. Like, stop. So, no, they haven't. And it's freezing and it's brutal and it should never come back. And it never did. Like, they had it in 82. Obviously, the Niners won their first Super Bowl. That was at the Silverdome. And then they had it one more time. Seattle and Pittsburgh in Super Bowl 40 played there. And it hasn't been back since. It's 20 years. It was a miserable place to have a Super Bowl. But they built Ford Field and they did it. And everybody that would sit down, would just be way too nice. Like, it's fine. And I'm like, no, it's not fine. It's absolutely terrible and it's freezing. Tell me the truth. And that's what I think is going to happen in Sacramento. They're all going to say really nice things because why rip them? What's the whole point? But there's going to be certain people who are going to be like, "This, we're playing in a minor league park. What are we doing?" So there you go. Is that part of random? I don't know what I had there. Ramos 3-for-4, Giants rotation. We did that. We're near the bottom of the thing. A Thursday with Krug. I think he told you that. So we're going to do this thing if you don't know. And we've been taking all sorts of names for it. But on Friday nights, Krug and I are going to do a collaboration all through the baseball season in which we suck down a bunch of beers. We have a lot of fun. We're going to do, like, you know, a home run. You're taking a shot or a drink or something. We're going to have a really good time. We're not going to bitch and moan. And if someone bitches and moans during the whole thing, they're going to have to put, like, a swear jar or something like that. And we're just having a lot of fun. We want you to hang out, kind of like a Manning cast kind of thing. We'll get some guests on and everything else. And we'll have a thing up there with the Giants game so you can follow along and everything like that. And we're going to do that on Fridays. We're going to do a test of it 1 o'clock on Thursday. 1 o'clock on Thursday. So I think that'll be a lot of fun. So make sure that you tune in for that. We'll do that on Thursday's show. Let me do this lotto story, and then I'll go out to the chat line and see what everybody's doing. We'll do a little shorty today just because I'm not feeling as great as I would like to feel. But here is the lotto story. In fact, let me read this to you, and then I do have the story itself up, and I would be so pissed. I don't know that I could ever get over this. I can get over most things, but this would be rough. So your sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistol mystery winner of $83.5 million lottery may never see her money because of the app she used. So if you think you look at your numbers and you think to yourself, I just won $83 million, and you're like, you're freaking out, right? I can't even imagine what that feeling would be like. So he went $83 million. Finance is obviously not a problem. Let me click it right here on the story itself and click this up for you. Get this out of my way, please. Thank you. Thank you. Stop it. Mystery winner of whopping 83 blah, 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 sudden technicality. This would be my luck. A Texas woman with a winning $83.5 million lottery ticket may never get her mega payout because officials are investigating the app she used. The woman, who has not been publicly identified, bought $20 worth of Texas lotto tickets February 17th. Jackpocket, blah, 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 blah. I'm treated as the bad guy. Say hello to the bad guy. The app and other similar courier services, which buy lottery tickets on people's behalf for a service fee, are facing intense backlash, blah, 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 blah. Here's the bottom line to the whole thing. She didn't cheat the thing. She has the lottery ticket. It's got the right numbers, and now they don't want to pay out the $83.6 million. Says the Texas Senate passed a bill in February that would ban courier services, and now the measure is headed to the Texas House. But here's the problem. It's not passed now. So she's like grandfathered, not even grandfathered in. She's in under the wire. It hasn't been passed. So they're saying, well, I don't know about these courier services. I don't know about these things like that. But it's not, it's already been done. Like, she's got the 83.6. She's got the lotto ticket. It's got the numbers. Like, I don't know how they could do that. They can do whatever they want. It's their lottery. But how pissed would you be? $83.6 million? It's not like $1,000, a couple $1,000, $10,000. Like, ah, man, that sucks. You know, like when the kid... Well, you know, at a college game or something, we'll throw up the half court shot and it's for $10,000 and it rims out. You're like, oh, kid could have $10,000. We're talking $80 million. Now, after taxes, I don't know. You take the lump sum, of course, because that's what you do. Maybe it's $35 million, maybe it's $30 million, whatever. But you can go in and tell your boss to F off. Like, you're done. Like, you're moving to an island, like $30 million bucks. And they're saying that it's because they don't like these services and they're going to pass something and everything else, but it hasn't been passed now. So, anyway, I'd be pissed. Says the woman who presented her winning ticket to the TLC on March 18th has not received her earnings. And though the commissioner typically pays out the winnings within 3 days, like, I wouldn't even be able to sleep. She says, how unfair would it be if she's not paid her winnings? The woman's lawyer said, is that going to give confidence to those people out there who want to play the Texas lottery? They don't care. They don't want to pay the $83 million. But there's no way. I don't know if I could ever sleep again. Like, through this whole process, you'd be looking at this whole thing going, okay, am I going to get the $83 million? Am I not going to get the $83 million? Whatever, but I'd be laying there going, because, oh my God, talk about a total change in your life. Like, either I have to keep going to my damn job and I hate my boss and I hate my coworkers, or I'm going to get, I don't know, after the payout, maybe $35 million and I'm out of here. I'm buying a huge house and a great car and I'm going to be on an island. Like, that's the difference. Or I'm just going to do what I always do. My God, it's not like $10,000, $5,000, $20,000, $100,000. Like, that's great. But it, ultimately, it's not going to change your entire life. But $35, $40 million because of what they might pass? Wait, we're going to pass this thing. What? I already won the lottery. I won $83.6 million fair and square. Yeah, but we're going to do away with those apps. But you haven't yet. Crazy. Yeah, somebody just said Texas. Yeah, it is. This is Texas. It's crazy. I hope she wins. Texas is horrible. What are you talking about? I would be beside. I don't even know what I'd do. I'd be so pissed, like, because I would have already went into my boss. Well, I don't have a boss anymore, but I would have went into my boss. Even I would have went into my old boss, even though they let me go. I'd be like, sorry, I have no one to say F off to, and I have to say F off to you. You didn't fire me. I fired you. I just made $40 million or whatever, 30, 35, whatever it's going to be after the taxes and they grab this and they penalize you for taking the payout and all that kind of stuff. You're still talking, I don't have to work anymore. Like, my God, I would. I'd call Holler right now and I'd go, dude, I don't have anybody to say F off to, but I'm going to say F off to you because I want to, because I need to. I need to tell somebody that I never have to work again. It'd be amazing. Oh, yeah, you're right. Texas, they don't have any. I don't know if they, that's true. It's not like California where they just rake you. I think in Texas, it's a lot. Yeah, you might get $50 million. You might be right. I'd sue for more. See, that's one of the things. I hate our society because everybody sues for all these dumb things. But that's something where it's like, get a boatload of lawyers and you're suing, man. You got to sue. Like $80 million. And like you said, Texas doesn't have a state income tax. So there's my guy, Dom. Remember, 327 on opening day. That's where Holly Mack and Creative Tony are going to be part of the Bay Area Sports Collective, which we are part of with me and Tom Tolbert and those guys. And they're going to be at Longbridge Pizza right downtown, right in the city. And getting you ready for opening day. So that's what's going on. All right. Anything else today? Anything else? I know we're going a little short at a $1.19, but like I said, I got to go suck down some more of this stuff. Ugh, it's terrible. That was a bad mix. I did NyQuil chased by the Premier Protein. This, by the way, coffee flavor, outstanding. Out stinking standing. But yeah, they're doing that a little bit today. So I'll be better tomorrow, I promise. Tomorrow we'll get into a whole conversation about how things worked out in Miami. I already showed you what's going on as far as the standings and everything are concerned, so I won't show you that again. I do that every single day. I'm obsessed with the standings and the bracket, so I won't do that again. Remember, go to johnlundunleashed.com. You can see, I went over this with you, but you can see my prediction on Purdy's payday, predicting Purdy's payday. And you can just go to johnlundunleashed.com. It is a wonderful website, if I don't say so myself. As you see, there's me. And meet your host. Latest YouTube shows. I got to update that. Latest podcast. We're working. There's something going on with that, but we'll get it going. And the blog. So if you click on any of these things, you can expand out and you can see all the shows and everything like that. And there's merch. There's merch at the bottom there. John Lund Unleashed merch. All sorts of social media places that you can find the show. Everything you need for John Lund Unleashed is at johnlundunleashed.com. So make sure that you check that out. We're still having kind of issues with me popping off the screen constantly, but that's okay. We'll get that fixed at some point. Oh, by the way, hey, Franco, great question, man. Love that kid. He's had some problems with drops, but he's a big dude. And if they end up trading Brandon Ayuk, which I'm still skeptical that they will. Many people think that they are going to trade him, but I like him. He's not the fastest, but he's a big target. I like him. I like him a lot. He's got to fix the drops, which can you do that? I think. Yeah, let's do this. Let's do this month. I'll send something out right after the show today for the Lund loyalist. And if you want to be a Lund loyalist, we do these monthly chats in which it's just us. So we max it at 10 and we do these chats. So Christopher was part of it last month and we're going to do it again. So there you go. I don't know. I think we've seen Jeff in here before, but if we haven't, welcome, 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 Jeff. Thank you for growing the community. The go-to drink, vanilla Premier Protein, coconut, and two shots of rum. I thought you were going to give me this health drink, and I'm like, oh, very sweet. That's cool, man. And then they threw in the rum. I'll try it. I like the vanilla protein powder or the protein stuff. This is my go-to, though, because in the morning, it's like that stuff's it's the coffee flavor. It is outstanding, just outstanding. So I do like it. But I think we do have some vanilla in the freezer right now. I want to tell you one more time about my good friends at Riopel Cosmetic Surgery and Laser Center. We talk about them all the time, but they're our fine sponsor of the program, Dr. Riopel and the whole crew. They're right there in San Ramon. And if you're in the East Bay, you know about them. But if you're not, it is 100% worth the drive. I am doing stem cell, and next week I'm going to start doing the stem cell. My wife is doing stem cell with her shoulder, her elbow, feeling amazing. She just did her foot last week. She is feeling great. So Dr. Riopel, we're doing that with Dr. Riopel. And then I am doing, and let me just put up the QR code so you click on this, and you can go right to the website and get yourself an appointment. Click right there with Dr. Riopel. And I'm doing the testosterone replacement. So you feel lethargic. You don't feel yourself. Feel a little bit tired, maybe irritable. Your sexual urges aren't where they need to be. That's what low T is all about. You're not feeling yourself and you want to feel yourself. I'm telling you, you don't have to go in for the weekly shots. You're going to feel absolutely amazing. You're going to feel like yourself again as you get a little bit older. They'll take a blood test. It's real, real simple. Then it's not like some crazy thing where they just gave you these shots. It's exactly what you need. They'll get you back up to the levels that you were. They're not going to jack you through your roof. You're not going to be like, it's not a steroid. It's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about testosterone replacement therapy. Dr. Riopel is a doctor, of course. And you just go in there every few months, get it done. You're going to feel great. You're going to feel great. Everyone's going to, God, you're not so irritable anymore. It's easier to lose weight. All these different things. Those are signs of low T. I'm taking it. I've never felt better. And I love the fact that I don't have to go in every single week to get the procedure done. So click on that right there. And you can go to the website, get that appointment, go in and see Dr. Riopel. Tell him I sent you over. Great people over at Riopel Cosmetic Surgery and Laser Center. And in addition to that, yeah, we're telling you about stem cell. We're telling you about the testosterone replacement therapy, but they do everything at Riopel Cosmetic Surgery and Laser Center. So check them out online right now and get your appointment today and tell them that I sent you over. Anything else we need to hit up today? Any questions, comments, thoughts? Oh, there you go. David VR, one of my favorite people, to be honest with you. David VR, DFA'd. Maybe this is finally the end for him as a Giant. Lou Trevino was good. I like Lou Trevino. Former A, I like Lou Trevino. That's a nice move. Really nice move. What else do we got? No, not Greg Anderson. He's out, right? He's out now. Yeah, that's been a long time. What else do we have? Any other breaking news that I'm missing? Sorry, I've been so focused on the show today. Oh, I got to do something. Is Skill still here? Is Skill still here? Because if he's not, then I'll do this when he's here. I totally forgot about this. I want to do one more thing. I always do this. One more thing. Hang on just a second here. Where is it? Oh, right there. Hopefully you're still here. It has come to my attention that you're also a card collector, so you might appreciate this more than my collection currently stands at 59,482. Are you kidding me? 59,042, including two Tom Tolberts. The countdown to 60 is on. You must have, during the season, you must have been one of those guys that were wishing what, and I think a million people probably do this, where you actually have your collection when you're a kid. Like when I was a kid, I had this collection and it was in Nike boxes and all these kind of things. And all these cards that I see worth gazillions of dollars, like Rookie Henderson rookies, I had a boatload of those. I used to go down when I was a kid and we would take our bikes and we would go to the local, like a Walgreens or something, like a local. And they had those packs that were clear packs, like three of them. And they would just hang on, you know, it was back in the day when this wasn't such a huge thing. And they would hang these packs. And then you could look at them. You could see so it was three on the front, three on the back that you could see. And so you could see them. And we'd buy packs and packs at a time. And I had boatloads of them, worth thousands. And I'm sure the same way, just in boxes and boxes and boxes. That's why I'm not a pack rat generally, but my son has a bunch of stuff in our garage and I'm not going to throw it away, because one day I came home from college and I'm like, where is all that stuff? Where's like all the cards in the Nike boxes? Like, yeah, we gave those away to charity. Like somebody is making a ton of money. I should be retired right now. So the fact that you have 60,000 card Skills, amazing. Because you probably kept them. Like you kept all these cards. Whereas I have a decent collection. I don't have 60,000. In fact, now that you, did he cut out early? We'll do this tomorrow then. But it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. 60,000. So that means when he was a kid, it was like, yeah, all those ones that were in a Nike box that you had, I kept them. That's unbelievable. 60,000. I got to go through some cards today. Maybe I'm going to go buy some cards today. That's still cracking me up that you're putting the rum in the Premier Protein. All right. Let's see. What else do we have to do? Is that it? Yeah. Lots of people collect cards. I can't even believe it. But we started back up. So I was pissed that I, you know, lost all those cards or whatever, and I didn't do it forever. And then my son was probably, I don't know, he's 21 now. So he was probably like 8 or 9 years old. Maybe 7, 8 years old, and I decided to start getting into collecting again. So we have a bunch of great cards. I just haven't looked at them in a long time. So I wonder if anything's worth anything. So I got to do that today. All right, great time had by all. Episode 97, Miami Jimmy, Wiggs, Curry, is he going to play? It sounds like it, according to Steve Kerr. It sounds encouraging. The Purdy paid piece, I did my prediction on his contract. Go to JohnLundUnleashed.com. More IU rumors. I'm not buying him. I'm not saying he's not going to get traded, because Jed could be that pissed off about having to rubber stamp that check before April 1st. I'm just saying the latest I don't buy. Giants rotation, don't love it, but I'm not around the team and will be more. Ramos looking good at a home run in the Giants return against the Tigers last night. Thursday with Krug, we're going to kind of do a test run on the Friday night show that we're going to do with the Giants, kind of the Manning cast kind of a thing. We'll do that Thursday. Random stuff we do throughout the show, and the lotto story, the woman in Texas who may not get her $83.6 million. Unfortunately, yeah, when you have 60,000 cards, you're gonna have a lot of Johnny the Masters. I mean, it just is. I mean, that's just the way it goes. All right, great time had by all today. Thank you for hanging out on a Tuesday, March 25th edition of the show. Keep those alerts on, because I will also put a couple of shorts out today and another short video on the topic of our choice. Warriors tonight against the Heat. Maybe I'll get a wild hair and do some post game tonight. Not sure, it'll depend on how I feel. Thanks for subscribing, John Lund Unleashed. Please make sure you subscribe. Hit the like button, please, if you would. Tell all your friends and enemies, Bay Area Sports Collective as well. If you would please make a head over there and subscribe, because remember, then you'll know when Tommy's on, then you'll know when Tolbert's on, and then you'll know when Creative Tony and Polly are on as well. Thanks to those watching on LinkedIn today and Facebook. Had a great time on a Tuesday, as we always do. Everybody have a great Tuesday. And we'll see you a little bit later. Thanks for the get well wishes. I'm not that bad off, but maybe I just like to drink DayQuil. No, I don't. All right. Have a great Tuesday. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!